Be faithful to your words and help us to know how to write or to question or to answer questions in a Christ-like manner. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, in 2 Timothy. So maybe probably a couple suggestions, because I do believe that some people that think they have authority are thinking that they can require people to do certain things. So I would encourage on Sunday and from now on to try to enter through this door over here, unless, Paul, you're down here, but lock the door after you. And then after we're going to get service started, we're going to, about 15 minutes in, we'll be locking the doors. Okay? And in case somebody with a costume and a badge and a gun decides to interfere with our peaceable assembly. Now, if somebody gets in a fight, I'm going to call the cops on you. So, and we're just going to do the best we can to continue to learn from the Lord until somebody forces us not to. So then right after the service, we got a quickie. I got a one item of business because it's our second year on this parking lot, so we need it to get it resealed, and I've got a date scheduled for August 3rd and 4th, Monday and Tuesday. So we want to do that before school starts. So we'll do that. Okay, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Okay, when you're talking to somebody personally, okay, this is the Bible pattern. Generally speaking, this is the Bible pattern, 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Okay, so that's the usual, that's the personal approach. And let's try another one in James chapter 3, verse 13. From 13 to 18 gives the contrast between worldly wisdom and biblical wisdom. So in verse 13, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So that is the usual outcome of carnal wisdom. And then here's Bible wisdom, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Okay, so that's the usual way, okay, of trying to communicate with somebody. Okay, but then you got to try to read into the other party and what their attitude is, what their spirit is. Okay, and then the problem with writing back and forth, you don't know the age of the party you're talking to, so you do need to ask that in the correspondence. So what is our purpose of these correspondence? It's to learn. It's to learn. Okay, and somebody may challenge you in a pretty rough way, some may challenge you in a nice way. But you just kind of smile about some of those things. So here is the very first time this person emailed me. Very first time. And you notice his first sentence, how he emailed me. Very first time. And how would you take that if somebody wrote to you like that? I mean, that's quite an introduction. I mean, he says, I'm teaching something perverted and needs to be put away from Bible believers, and then he suggested that I listen to this talk by this fellow named Floyd Jones. This guy's name is Rocky, kind of living up to his name right off the bat. Okay, and so See what he, how he, this is his first introduction. How would you feel if somebody, or hopefully we don't witness that way to somebody? I believe your teaching in Genesis 6 is causing a lot of confusion, and I've left things spelled just the way he spells it. And I know you're not the first to interpret it this way, but it's my prayer that this perverted teaching be put away among Bible believers. Please listen to. Okay, so my first reaction was, take a hike and delete it. That was my first reaction. But the Lord kind of said, oh, let's just kind of play with this for a little while. See what we come up with. So I threw back at him, I believe your method of approaching another about his beliefs is perverted. And I would suggest you reconsider your approach. So he came back. Thanks, I will, but could you enlighten me first? Enlighten you on what? I'm not sure where this guy is really going. He's wanting something without kind of going forward with this. And so then I said, grace and maturity lead a person to ask a question with the intent to understand the reason for the belief. Okay, if he felt that what I teach on Genesis 6, instead of just throwing out the perverted idea, why don't you ask a question so I know the part that you're wondering about? You see, this is the problem when you see words. You don't see the fluctuation in the voice. You don't see the eyebrows raised. You don't see the voice quivering. You don't see anything. And so when you do this, you try to give the other party the benefit of the doubt. Okay, but this is how God has given his words. And this is why the Bible is used by so many people most of the time in the wrong way, is because they're not giving God the benefit of the doubt in his words. And that's God's very amazing, very wise method of checking our sincerity out. Okay, so then he comes back. I confess I do fall short there. I did not mean to attack you. Okay, well, I didn't consider it an attack. That's always kind of a funny way of saying something. If you disagree with somebody, people nowadays, you attacked me. No, I just disagreed. I'm sorry. I didn't attack you. Attacking you is pow, pow, pow. That's attacking. You know, but this is a general viewpoint of people. He said this. This topic is one that bothers me, and I believe that it also attacks God's words. Okay, so there's the statement. Now I want you to start showing me how it attacks God's words. It bothers me. Well, I was bothered with your first sentence. Okay, then he says, you and I have the same interest concerning God's word and for the truth. How does he know? How does he know what interest I have in the word of God? I don't know what his interest is. And then he lets me know he's bought the Bible. I use your Common Man's Reference Bible, as does my wife and another brother that I've come to know. God has given me a small position that I'm honored to have. Not sure what he's talking about. My position requires me to lead my family at various times to teach and explain certain doctrines. So his small position, I think, is his wife. The way it's looking. Genesis chapter 6 continues to come up, and it bothers those that I am to give an answer to that there is such a different understanding between us Bible believers. Okay. It changes theology dramatically from one way of believing to another. I'm not sure about that. Again, I do apologize and do not mean any disrespect. Okay, fine. Assuming we won't be able to change each other's stance on a subject, okay, then why did you write me? He's assuming that I will not change. He doesn't know me from Adam. By that statement, he is telling me he's not going to change. And so this, you read into these things and you kind of see where a person's going. And then he says, I ask of you for your help on how to first better respond to our differences so that the reference Bible can still hold its position within my heart and to those who may ask me to give an answer that they may also continue to hold it as precious as I in their hearts. Okay, so what? Okay. So then I come back. I would suggest to simply ask questions about the topic. Because I'm not sure where his issue is yet. And then I said, why would you assume we won't be able to change each other's stance? Are you not willing to verify your beliefs? I am. Are you not willing to admit a weakness in stance? I am. Why would a topic bother you? People kind of think, oh, this bothers me. Why? It's just an idea. Why disagree with it? So go on with it. That's life. And then I wrote, God allows heresies, and I could put Deuteronomy 13 there. God allows heresies to prove the sincerity of others. That's why he allows them. Deuteronomy 13. There's a purpose in the allowance of heresies. And then I wanted to know, okay, as he listened to some of the things I've taught on YouTube. Okay, and you can, if you want to run the times, I've put it chronologically. And then you'll see that he hits it 1, 2, 3, 4. Right in a row. And you can kind of start reading into this individual's methods of dealing with people. Okay, were you able to listen to the link I sent Floyd N. Jones? No, I didn't. Okay, I did later on. And then he said, I've listened to about 75% of your videos. Okay, fine. And then he says, the scriptures say God was mad at man, not angels. Not sure about that. The scripture never calls angels sons. Okay, now when you make a statement, where's the references? Just because you make a statement doesn't make it true. The scripture never calls angels sons. The places that sons is accused of being angels, there are plenty of scripture to provide proof of them being men. No scripture. None whatsoever. And then he uses Hebrews 1:5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Okay, what's a problem with applying that to angels? Jesus is the begotten Son of God. Angels are not begotten, but yet they're still called sons. And I'll give some scripture for that as we go through here. So he uses Hebrews 1:5. So praise the Lord, he got one verse in there. That's happy for him on that one. And then he evidently is at work or something, and he just hits it again, hits it again. No time to respond. And then here he goes. This one is the one you can really read into it. The reason this may bother me is I have already been asked to leave and have left many church buildings for my beliefs. I have been kicked out of homeless shelters after I led men to the Lord. They asked the place to take back here perverted Bible and give them a King James Bible. Isn't that a nice way to do that? You know, you lead somebody to the Lord in a mission and they give them a fake new Bible, and then you take back that perverted Bible and give them a real Bible. How about if you just gently, kindly give the guy a King James Bible? Okay, basically, after being asked to leave places for bucking tradition, not sure about that, and for standing up for God's word, I have not found any time that I've actually convenienced anyone where it doesn't cost me something. My mother, my grown children, my in-laws all treat me with one long stick as to keep me at a distance. God has blessed me with a simple wife. I hope his wife didn't read this. God has blessed me with a simple wife who does believe in me and has given me opportunity to start another family. Okay, so what are you reading there? I'm picking up something here. But I struggle. It's a small town. People would barely hire me before my convictions. Now I preach, none will hire me. I don't think it's his beliefs are the problem. It's his techniques. You know, it's like a guy hadn't been on a date for a long, long time, and so he's on a date, and somebody said, make sure you compliment her on the date. So he's thinking and thinking and thinking, and then he figured it out. He said, you know, for a fat lady, you don't sweat much. You know, that's not a real good compliment. Okay, so I can see where this guy's going. I can see the problem. Now, often, from my experience, people who are sharp with their words don't like it coming back to them. Okay, one of these guys on a video, that's all he does. He just picks apart, you know, Breaker and all these different people, Ruckman and this, and he just picks them apart, and he calls them stupid and insane, all this stuff. So I thought, just for kicks, I'm going to use the exact words he used in his video for somebody else and apply it to him. He made an entire video about a hostile comment. And all I did was use his words. Entertainment. I tell you, all the clowns aren't in the circus. So then he says, okay, please forgive my grammar and for placing my baggage onto you again. I don't know what baggage. I'm not trying to attack you or stereotype you. This isn't about me. It's about Genesis 6. Okay, if it's about Genesis 6, quote it. Tell me and ask me the questions. So then I responded, no, I didn't look. I looked at some of the titles of this Floyd Jones guy. And then I come back with this. I can interpret from your method of writing that appears to me that you are like a bull in a china closet. I do believe people may shun you for your overzealous methods more than the truth. I almost told you to take a hike after the first email, but the Lord directed me differently. And then I cite 2 Timothy. That's a proper method. If the person is older than you, the biblical method is gently appeal or entreat with a humble spirit. And there's the passage. Okay, that's how you do it, biblically. Okay, this is done by asking simple questions that guide a person to the truth. I'm curious of your age. How old are you? Okay, and so this is how you could ask people questions, and your questions are designed to take baby steps to the point where they will have to say, I guess you're right, by your questions. It gets them to think. When you ask somebody questions, they feel good about themselves because you're asking them about their wisdom, but yet actually you're guiding them through the questions. You watch how the Lord did this on many occasions, where the Pharisees would ask him a question, and he would turn around and answer the question with a question. And then he would box them in a corner, and they didn't know what to do. Okay, and of course, that's the Lord. He can read the heart and everything. You and I, we go with experience, and you can kind of read people. Okay, and so then I wrote, the Lord stated to let your light shine. He didn't say push the light in their face. Because I can see this individual doing this. After the light is shown, good works or serving another reinforces the light. Okay, that's Matthew 5:16. And then I showed him my techniques. I usually agree with somebody to reveal the problems. So I'm going to step on his side of the fence. My teaching of Genesis 6 is perverted, he says. And so if Genesis 6 is dealing with men and women only, which is what a lot of teach, some teach that the children of Cain would be the daughters of men and the sons of God would be the daughters of Seth. John R. Rice used to teach that. So then they would say, that's a saved person marrying a lost person. Does anybody know a saved person who married a lost person? And then they had giants for kids? No. Baby Huey. Maybe Baby Huey's mom and dad were saved and lost. I don't know. Okay, so if Genesis 6 is dealing with men and women only, how were the giants produced? If the sons of God were the descendants of Seth and the daughters of men were descendants of Cain, saved, married, and lost, why do the giants not appear today? And then Job 1:6, Job 2 is where the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord with Satan. Okay, and then Job 38:7 especially, where the sons of God sang at the creation, and that is clearly angels. To use your phrase, it is clear. Often I'll do that. I'll use the statement they say and put it back on them. The Lord did that. The Lord did that. He did that to Nicodemus, where Nicodemus said, "We know," and he said, "We know." And so the Lord, he says in Luke 19:20, "Out of thine own mouth I will judge thee." Okay, and so you use their words, it is clear. It's clear to me, but it's not clear to him. The sons of God are not people in either case. Job 1, Job 2, Job 38. Genesis 6:4 reveals the event occurred after the flood also. That's the giants after the flood also. So there were more fallen angels that became flesh and produced giants. Perfect example, Goliath. Jude 6 and 7 reveals the flesh of angels was strange flesh. And you go back and look at the context of Jude 6 and 7, Sodom, Gomorrah, the flood. Talks about strange flesh. Psalm 82 is another passage within the context. Okay, let's try that one if you would, Psalm 82. Years ago, I was dealing with a Jehovah's Witness in somebody's house, and they brought up Psalm 82, and they tried to make it say that Jesus was a lesser God. Okay, Psalm 82, where it says, verse 6, "I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." Jesus quoted that. So they applied that to Jesus. I said, how can you apply that to Jesus? Look at the context. Verse 5, "They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundation of the earth are out of course." When were all the foundation of the earth out of course? Noah's flood is one time, yes. Genesis 1:2, the flood there. Noah's flood, the second coming. Okay, but then go down to verse 7. "But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes." That's a weird statement to say to a man, you're going to die like a man. Of course I'm going to die like a man. I'm a man. It must be something that's not a man, but it's going to die like a man. So when the angel leaves the first estate, Hebrews 1:7, in the spirit world, take on flesh, the problem is they will now die like men. They're going to drown like a rat in the flood. That's the limitation. That's why it's called strange flesh. It's unusual flesh, weird flesh, not normal flesh. So Psalm 82. Okay, but yet they are called the children of the Most High, but they're not born of God. They're created by God. And so Hebrews 1:5 is the passage he used, so I bring them back to that one. And I said, that's referring to the birth of the Son of God. Adam was created, yet he is called a son of God, and I gave the reference. Hence, angels are created, hence, they can be called sons of God. So I gave the reference. Okay, now we go back to Rocky. Rocky and Bullwinkle. I remember watching Rocky and Bullwinkle. That shows my age. So he says, "Yes, sir, I sent you a whole recording teaching on the matter." Well, yeah. The Bible says in Genesis 6:4, the giants were here before and after. Okay, right there, if you know the passage, it didn't say that. It says after, not before. And so the thing is you go to the scripture and look at it. A lot of times when a person gets in a big hurry with their scripture because they're trying to jump stuff, slow them down and get them to look at the passage because they're overlooking a lot. So then he says, Job had plenty of sons and daughters and grandsons, etc., in order for there to be sons of God to present themselves before the Lord. Okay, nice statement. Deuteronomy 16 states that the written law required them to do the same. Okay, he's talking about Job, and then he goes to Deuteronomy. Was Deuteronomy written when Job was alive? Uh-uh. And then it says, you're forcing angels unto sons and forcing the sons to be in heaven does not force me to believe angels have sex. I don't care to force you to believe anything. And I'm not forcing anything. And then he said, comparing 2 Peter with Jude shows a distinct difference between Jude 6 and Jude 7. So right division is necessary? Yeah. Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, so my age is not a factor. Well, I didn't despise your youth. Your age is a factor. So he didn't answer the question. You have the idea that I'm underneath you. How does he know that? He should be a detective in life. Man, if he's a detective, he can solve a lot of crimes. Where does he come up with this idea? I have given you more respect than you probably deserve. Yeah, I can say amen. And I'm so glad that this came up because now I see what I originally had suspected. Well, what did you originally suspect? You like to poke fun at people and make yourself appear so full of wisdom. When did I do that? He's telling on himself. Is what he's doing. Romans 2:1. And then it says, you never gave me the same respect in return that you so much feel that you deserve. I didn't ask for your respect. I am not mad at y'all. But I pray I never condescend to those who may be in a lower state. Well, I pray the same for you. I think I will say goodbye. God bless and take a long hike away from you. All that I can learn from you is writing already, and I praise God for using whatever donkey he chooses to teach someone like me, Rocky. He's trying to get away. He's trying to get out of this. He shot his wad, and he's starting to run, is what he's doing. So I came back. Age is vital in the scriptures. The Bible is an oriental book. I do not have the idea that you're beneath me. You assumed that idea. I now know you are much younger than me. You committed the sin of evil surmising. That's what he did. You think I'm underneath you. No, I don't think that. I believe that everybody knows something I don't know, hence everybody is my teacher. And I can learn from anybody. So then he says, I do not desire your response. Okay, I say, I do not desire your respect. You are also incorrect with the idea that I like to poke fun at people to make myself appear so full of wisdom. I do say that you have judged yourself, Romans 2, verse 1. You judge a man because you've done the same thing. Where have I poked fun at you in this correspondence? Did anybody see anywhere that I did poke fun at him? Okay, you started the conversation with your guns blazing. Yes, Paul did tell Timothy to let no man despise his youth. I have not despised your youth. I despise your method of declaring your ideas. That's why I gave the biblical approach. Questions can guide one to the truth. Jude and 2 Peter are general epistles that deal with the same dispensation. That is right division. And then I point out that Deuteronomy was not written for Job to read. Moses wrote Deuteronomy 300 to 400 years after Job. That is right division. You ignored Job 38:7, Psalm 82, and Luke 3:38. So you point these things out to people when you're corresponding. That's the advantage of writing, because you can go back and look what you've written. And just take your time and ask the Lord to guide you and bless you. It's a wonderful way to learn. Okay, Genesis 6:4 mentions in giants in those days and after. It did not say before. You had to add your idea to the passage. Job 1:6 reveals Satan had been walking on the earth, and he and the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord. Where? On earth? Heaven? Well, Satan stated he came from earth. I don't care if you want to believe angels can have sex with women, Satan can. I don't care if he wants to believe that. It's not going to change any theology at all. So I write, now you have a choice. You can admit people shun you because of your methods, not your message. You've shown me by your correspondence that your methods of witnessing are not biblical. You have portrayed yourself to be a jerk. And he has. You can run with your tail between your legs. I'm sorry to say these comments, but you need to hear it from somebody, for someone. I've seen guys like you who can dish it out, but you can't take it. This is the intention of Matthew 7, where Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. It's up to you to lead what you call a simple wife biblically, or like a bully. This dude's a bully. This is what he is. And always, you know, may God bless you. You always throw that in there. I want the Lord to bless him. I want him to pull this guy out of his methods. Okay, then I did take some time and I listened to this one speaker that he wanted me to listen to. And this guy basically said that he believes the mark that was put on Cain was the giants. That was his. And he said, I'm going to make a bold statement. The mark that was put on Cain was the giants. That's just your opinion. He gave no scripture to back it up. None. Zero. He did run a bunch of scriptures about giants, but he did not make the connection between Cain getting blackballed, okay, the mark of the beast, or the mark, and the mark being giants. That was just a personal opinion. What if the mark, I think, was, a horse? I've got the same authority as he has on that. So I did listen to it. The gentleman used Hosea 1:10. Okay, he pulled it out of context. He used Exodus 19. He pulled that out of context. So I'm telling him what I learned from this gentleman, which is what he originally asked. The man believes Cain is the father of giants. He thought it was a bold statement. He followed it with many scriptures about giants, but he did not prove his initial bold statement. His opinion is the mark refers to a giant. He used Matthew 22:30 to claim angels are sexless, but the Bible clearly reveals angels are men. Revelation 21:17. Several years ago at the Rensselaer Care Center, they must have had a Bible study going on, and they were running back and forth, so Ethel called me up and said, Preacher! Okay, and then she put this lady on the phone and she says, do you have scripture about angels being men? And I said, Revelation 21:17. And she flipped to it, looked at it, she said, wow, you're good. I said, no, the book's good. It was just so clear to her, wow. And I just knew the passage and hang up the phone, we're done, we go on. She's happy, I'm happy. It was a short conversation. Okay, and then I give him some information. Satan can procreate, Genesis 3:15. And so can the angels have strange flesh when they leave their first estate. The man did not give any scripture connection to his bold statement about Cain to be the father of the giants. The man also mentioned Old Testament believers were regenerated. Wrong again. No one was born of God prior to the death of the firstborn of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to believe, that's fine with me. And then that's it. So he closes out, Yes, sir. Thank you for sharing your correspondence with me. I plan to consider everything mentioned in these notes concerning myself as well as a great day. Now, if he does consider that, I think his simple wife is going to appreciate it. I just can't imagine this guy. So he's obviously had a divorce in there because he gets to start a new family in there. So you can kind of read this through there. People tell on themselves. And just let them talk or let them write. Okay, I hope this was helpful to you, because when you're writing to people, make sure you do ask the age of the party. That is very important. And if they're older than you, then you need to shift to be like a gentle lamb, ask questions, entreat if the correspondence keeps going. If they get to be a real smart aleck in there, use their words back on them. It's kind of entertaining to watch the reaction. Okay, most of the time, I have learned through the years, if somebody is sharp-tongued, and then they justify their sharp tongue by saying, well, they just don't want the truth. If you do the sharp tongue in half back to them, that's enough to make them run. If you give it full board, you'll have a knockdown, drag-out fight. Sad, but true. Okay, so, so I hope this, if you get writing, folks, you know, keep the correspondence, keep running through it, read, pray, ask the Lord, take your time. But this is very similar to sports where two teams are jockeying against each other, and everybody benefits from it, even though maybe one will get mad and, you know. We had the first thing in 30 years of basketball league, I had my first two sucker punches this summer. It was so fast, it shocked me. Okay, but you have that on a, you know. Now, down at PBI in hockey, probably every game they got that stuff going on. I remember once down at Louisville, they wanted to play hockey from midnight to 2, and so I'm playing, and I'm watching these two teenagers. They're just fighting right on the high, and everybody just kept playing just like nothing, and they're going, and then finally they stopped, got up, and picked up their stick and kept playing. I guess that was legit. Okay, so I hope this was a help and a benefit to you. Any questions or comments that we covered? Brother Paul?